start. I love that bing. The bing is my favorite thing. So I'm going to start out with a disclaimer of liability. This material and information contained or given on this website is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You are using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely on the material or information on this website as a basis for making any business decisions. While I endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, RV Project helps make no representations or warranties of any kind, expressed or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website or the information, products or services, related graphics or audio files contained on this website for any purpose. The due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. With that said, my name is Ms. Parker, and I know it's getting late and we only have 22 people on the channel, but I really appreciate you sticking in on this. Your family inheritance, your family trust is very, very, very simple. All you have to know is what you're doing with your family trust, okay? When I talk about they want to know the objectives, why you want your family trust. In the audio I just did, I gave you the topics and the objectives. You can take that information from topics and objectives and make your own topic and objectives. What's important to you out of that list of stuff that I told you? Okay, let me get you up and Diane Poe. There, you're back to speak. Rob, there you go. You're back to speak. Rico, okay, there you go. You're back to speak. Anybody else? Nope, you're all good. Okay, so I have my personal family document open. And I'm going to give you the information that I have on my personal family document so you can see what I'm doing. And by having this information, this will help you decide how you want to do your own family document, okay? So on the top of it, where it says introduce your family project and really focus on this project being multidimensional, multigenerational, you're going to want to try to write no more than four sentences, and you want to do like two in each paragraph. In each of these four sentences, you're trying to use some version of multigenerational, because that's the most important part of this first start, is you want them to know that you're not planning on just doing this for like two or three generations. You're planning on doing this for like four or five, six, 10 generations, okay? So my family project, how I introduced my family project is this. I wrote out, as I plan my multigenerational humanitarian project, I realized I needed a plan to take care of my family while taking care of the world. So I use the word multigenerational. That's the first sentence. I'm going to use the original word, multigenerational. Okay. You want to try to vary the way you're saying this so you don't sound like multigenerational, multigenerational, multigenerational in each sentence. That's not going to sound good. The second sentence I have is the development of a family governance system became a critical component of my family's wealth plan for managing its wealth for succeeding generations. So instead of using the word multi-generation, I use the word succeeding generation. It says the same thing. You're just trying to word craft at this point. You're trying to put in the information about what you're doing and using these very important words, because you're trying to impress upon them that this is going to be a long-term thing. So the next thing I write is, I needed a structure that's inclusive enough to serve the current generation and flexible enough for the needs of the future generation that can position my family to thrive now and in the future. So here's just another version of saying multi-generation. Please don't copy this word by word, although you can, because I'm reading it to you. Please use your own judgment and write your own sentences. But again, use multi-generation or versions of multi-generation in each sentence. My last sentence is, I wanted my family governance project to be used as a philanthropic vehicle to help preserve the giving aspect of our family in a multi-generational fashion. So I use multi-generation first sentence. I used succeeding generation second sentence. I said, serve the current generation and flexible for the needs of the future generation. That's just a way long-term version of saying multi-generation. And then I went back to multi-generation in the bottom, in the last thing. So this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to hit on the topic of multi-generation multiple times because this is the most important thing you're trying to do, okay? Then it asks for your mission, okay? Your mission is whatever your main purpose is, your main topic. So my mission is to feed my, after achieving my goals to feed the world, my life's purpose is to help my family members and people important to me to be able to live in abundance while preserving our wealth management, our family wealth, and maintaining our philanthropic goals of giving back to our world. So in the sample, it's after achieving my goals, okay? Then what is your goal in your humanitarian project? Whatever your goal is for your humanitarian project, literally lift that sentence out of that first document and put it right there. So after achieving my goals to start up a homeless center to feed and help put the vets in a home, after my achieving of goal is to, I got one gal who wants to raise happy chickens and give eggs out to everybody. Whatever your goal is in your big project, your humanitarian project, that's exactly what you put after my achieving my goals to whatever your big humanitarian project is. Then you want to say your life's purpose is to make sure that every family member and people important to me are. I want to preserve my wealth management. And I want to maintain our philanthropic goals of giving back to the world. Whatever your mission is for your major project, it's the same mission for your family trust. So you're just going to lift those words out of that other document and literally drop them right into this one. It's a no-brainer, folks. It's super easy to do. That's why I said this document is very easy. It scares people to death because they don't know how to fill it out, but it's easy. Okay, super easy. So you've got your first part, you've got your mission, your target groups, figure out whoever you're going to do there. Okay. Now you're going to have your project objectives. Okay. I went through all of the topics, communication, decision-making, conflict resolution, continuity planning, transition planning, accountability measures, stewardship development, and leadership development. I went through all of those different topics and I figured out which one of those was the most important to me. Okay. I've got a new member on here, Jen D. Jesus One. I opened your mic. Can you please speak and let us know that you're not a bot?
I'm not a bot.
River Edwards, can you please open your mic and let us know you're not a bot?
I am not a bot.
Thank you very much, folks. We're trying to make sure we have no bots in here. I went through all of those topics and I decided which one of those topics are the most important to me. Okay. And then I pulled from the objectives of those topics and I wrote that down. So if you go back and listen to the recording I just made, that recording I just made gives you all the words you need for your project objectives. So this is what I personally have on mine. Yours are going to be different because you're going to have different reasons or goals for your project. So I picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I picked 10 objectives. I said, to satisfy each member's basic human needs, to ensure that each family member understands the governance system and his or her roles within it, to emphasize the value of work in realizing individual happiness, to develop my family's intellectual capital, to create channels to collect and share information efficiently and appropriately, to provide leadership incentives and develop younger generations into family leaders, to relay our family history and values, to spark and develop interest in the family history and goals, to have mentor our family members through rough and good family experiences and forge bonds between family members, and last of all, to promote intellectual diversity. As you go through that document and you look at the objectives, certain things are going to stand out to you, and that's what is important to you. So the things that are important to you, that's what you write as your family objectives, okay? Donna Lee, you're new to the channel. Can you please speak? Let us know you're not a bot.
I'm not a bot.
Thank you very much, Donna. I'm sorry to bother you, but I just need to make sure we have no bots in here. So this document literally writes itself. If you just know what you want, and it's really simple. You just go back and listen to the objectives, and you pick out the objectives that are most important to you. Now, this may all change once you get your family management, your wealth management team in place, and they talk to you about different things. You may come up with different things. This is just a document to get you into the RV and get them to accept your family document, your family governance. So here's the big woo that everybody gets all caught up in. They ask, what's your expected expenses? Okay. And that's the thing that gets everybody tied up. So I'm going to tell you what I put on my family document, and I'm going to tell you why. The reason why you need to know and have ideas of what is on this document is so in case they pull this document and they ask you, hey, why did you put this amount of money on it? When I explain to you why I did what I did, it will give you the words for you to figure out what you want to do, okay? So let's start. I have three columns. And the reason why I have three columns is the first year is going to be the funding year. The second year, the second 2 to 4 years is going to be the transition years. Or the 2 to 4 years are going to be those years the different members of your family trust are going to break off and leave. You're funding them so they can put money aside, so they can have a family trust and eventually move out of yours and start their own. And then the last one is the 5 to 100 years, because this family trust pays out for 100 years. That's the kind of money I'm looking for. So in for myself is the first person on there. I put 20 million for myself. Then for years 2 to 4, I put 10 million. And from years 5 to 100, I put 5 million. Now you're wondering, why the hell does you change? Well, that first year, I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy a car. I might buy a couple houses. I don't know. So I need a bigger amount of money that first year. The second to fourth years, I'm going to be the CEO of my company, my Parker Potts company. And I have a good idea, I believe, of what kind of income I'll be paid off the royalties for this stuff. So I don't believe I'm going to need 20 million after the second year. I think 10 million is going to be plenty. Year 5, I will have my third organization open, and I'll be gathering income from that. So my fund for years 5 through 100 is 5 million a year. And I think that'll be plenty. The next thing I have is project startup funds. So I have 20 million set, 200 million set aside. And the reason why I have that much set aside is because I have 2 daughters and they are completely blue pilled and they do not believe that anything like this is going to happen. So I put money aside, startup money aside, just for the year 1. And that money is to fund projects for people who don't have projects lined out yet. I don't know what they're doing yet. So that's a startup fund for those family members that are not in the family governance and don't have an idea of what we're going to do with them yet. So the family office, that is a humanitarian project that is going to serve all the needs of my family. I'm going to start out year 1 with 200 million. Years 2 to 4, 100 million each year. years 5 to 150 million. I believe that because my family is so small, that as it grows, I'm going to still need a considerable amount of money because I believe there's going to be new projects coming up, new people and being involved in my family. So the first year is going to be the setup year. That's going to be the biggie. The years 2 through 4 will kind of be settling out and getting the rough edges off of stuff. And then after years 5, we're going to have it on, and then we're going to know what we're going to do. And so I think that that's a fair budget. The next one is the new project investment fund. Again, there may be raw materials, just bric-a-brac. You don't know what you're going to run into. So I put 50 million from year 1, year 2 to 4, year 5 to 100, 50 million straight across. The next one is new project expansion fund. One of the things that happens is when you get a business started, and if that business is very successful, if you don't have budget money for expansion, you cannot expand. And with the Parker Pots, it's really important because my raw materials to do 500,000 pots, I need to do 500,000 pots, I need 30 million in raw materials. If I don't have the raw materials, I can't expand. So I'm doing no money on the new project expansion front on the first year because that money's coming from another place. It's a startup fund. But years 2 through 4, I'm asking for 400 million for every year, years 2 through 4 for the new project expansion fund, and years 5 to 100, only 200 million. The reason why I drop it down to 200 million is the years 2 through 4, that's when multiple projects are going to be started, and I expect some of them to explode, and I have nothing in the budget in case those things explode and I need raw material. Now, fiance and spouse. Yes, I'm a little old lady, and yes, I'm a widow, and yes, one day I hope that maybe I will have a fiance or a spouse. Because it's my partner who's just related to me through love or marriage, that person doesn't need the 20 million that I have because my money is going to cover all the bills. Their money is fooling around money. So for my fiance spouse, I put 5 million year 1, year 2 through 4, 5 million, years 5 through 100, 2.5 million. It kind of follows mine in the budget a little bit because I expect to be successful. Children. I have 2 children. So what I do is I have children times 2, and then I have 10 million for each child, which is 20 million total. On years 1, they're going to buy a new house or pay off their house or whatever they're going to do. And their years 2 through 4, I have 8 million per child, which is 16 million total. And then years 5 through 100, 4 million each, 8 million total. I have 2 grandchildren, and grandma is a grandma is a grandma. Them kids are getting 10 million a year for the rest of their lives because it's grandma. And yes, I'm going to spoil my grandchildren because it's grandma. Okay. Well, the other reason is this. I'm setting up 2 grandchildren. I might have more grandchildren later. So if I have a flat budget of 10 million and I only have 2 grandchildren based on the age of my kids, if my kids give me 8 more grandchildren, I'm going to physically pass out. So $1 million apiece for a grandchild is plenty. I'm putting in 10 million for these 2, and it'll even out. It'll change as the kids get older or they add more grandchildren. If neither one of my kids have more grandchildren, my grandkids are going to make out like freaking bandits for the rest of their life. Siblings. Siblings is a hard one. I have 2 brothers. Hello, Dwayne Red. You've just joined the channel. Can you please speak so we know you're not a bot, please? Okay. So when he comes back, he gets banned. So here's the shitty thing. I'm adopted. Okay. This is really, really, really important in this conversation. I am adopted. The people that raised me is not my blood. I have zero blood relation with the people that raised me. This is a very, very, very important thing for me to have you know. The reason being is because one of my adopted parents' natural born children is a motherfucking child molester. Okay. And I have serious issues over the fact that that's what he is. Hi, Deb Curtis. You just came new into the channel. I've opened your mic. Can you please speak to let us know you're not a bot?
I'm real.
Thank you very much, Miss Curtis.
You're welcome.
So I've got one adopted brother who's a natural born child of my parents that are a good kid. And then I have another brother who I believe needs to be hanging on the end of a rope because he's a child molester. Again, not my blood. I'm adopted. So I'm also, I've had a very wild life. I was an outlaw cannabis grower, and then I got legal and I started doing corporate writing. But so I got an edge to me, and I don't cotton well to people that do bad things to kids. So I'm also very new in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and Christ wants us to forgive people that have done bad things. So I struggled. I mean, I kid you not. I struggled over this because I absolutely do not want to forgive him. I want to see him on the end of a rope, and I want to be the one to kick the chair out from underneath of him. But it took me a while, and I finally found it in my heart to forgive him. However, I cannot forget what he did, okay? And because I cannot forget what he did, I'm not going to give him a motherfucking penny. So God says to forgive. He does not say I have to give him any money, okay? So I'm only going to give one of my adopted siblings money. I'm going to give my brother Brad $10 million for the first year, and years 2 through 4, I'm going to give him $5 million. But then after years 2 through 4, I'm not going to give him any money because I believe that all of that money from the first 4 years, he'll be able to use that money and set up a family governance and basically start his own family up. I was adopted by people that really didn't like me. So although I didn't have a stellar relationship with one of my brothers, he was a good person. So I don't want to do anything to, I don't want to tarnish that relationship. There's some of you out there that you have family members that are just complete assholes. They're either drunks or they don't believe in the movement. They've given you grief. They've called you, you know, every single name in the book. Well, you have to remember that those people are brainwashed. And you might still want to bless them, but you don't really want to have anything to do with them because your feelings have changed from the way they've treated you. So if that happens to you, this is what I'm going to do. I have a daughter that's like that. So I'm going to set up a trust fund. And I'm going to set a trust fund up so she can have her own business. And I'm going to have a lawyer go talk to her. And I'm going to have me and the lawyer go sit down with her. And I'm going to explain this. You have shown no responsibility. And I want to give you funds. I want to bless you because you're my daughter and I care about you. But your behavior has been intolerable. So if you do the right things, if you get involved with the family governance, if you want to help with the family stuff, if you want your own business, I will give you money and you can do that. If you decide to do stupid shit, then you know, you go blow your money or you don't follow your budget or any of that stuff. The lawyer is going to give your share of that money that you're going to get every week. He's going to donate it to whatever charity that you decide right now. By doing it that way, that means if the kid or the drunk or the family member that gives you grief runs out of money, they're not going to be calling you up going, gimme, 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 gimme. They're going to call the lawyer up. Going to take away the animosity between you and that child or you and that family relative or you and that friend. By having the lawyer do it, it helps repair the relationship that got destroyed because your family member or your friend was brainwashed by the media. This and it stops all of the wars between them saying, oh, you didn't love me, you didn't give me enough money, whatever the reason they're going to say. Then you also tell that family member, you can only get money from this lawyer. The lawyer is going to be the one who sets up the trust and pays you. Don't ask me for anything because it's going to be up to the lawyer. You can only talk to the lawyer 3 hours a week. That's all that this trust pays. If you have more problems and you can talk to the lawyer 3 hours a week, you're going to have to wait the next week because you're not going to drain the trust calling the lawyer and screaming at the lawyer to give you more money. You explain all this to the kid or to the family member that's, you know, kind of stupid. And then you walk away and you let the lawyer deal with it. And you deal with that family member on a positive relationship, not fighting over money. And hopefully you can rebuild that family relationship. It's just a side thing for those of you that are struggling with how to deal with somebody that's being an asshole in your family. Parent. My mother is 87 years old now, and she's not in very good health. So I have $1 million for year one and $1 million for years 2 through 4. If my mom gets $4 million, the way she spends money, it's going to be, you know, she'll be dead before she spends $4 million because she's, you know, she can make a buffalo nickel scream. So that's why I picked the money for my mother. A bridge fund. A bridge fund, I got $3 million in there. What's a bridge fund? Say you go out, you buy a house. Well, you got to put a down payment on the house. So you pull the money out of the bridge fund and put the down payment on it, and then you call the lawyer, the paymaster, who's going to help you pay everything, and you say, hey, I am going to buy a house. I put a down payment using the bridge money. I need you to get the money collected. I need a clear and clean title of the money, and I need a proof of funds. That takes a few days. So by using a bridge fund to pay any kind of fees that you need in advance, you pay with a bridge fund, your wealth manager or your paymaster gets your funds available, they send it to whoever you got into this contract with, and then they give you back out of that money that they're putting together, they put back whatever you spent in the bridge fund and put it back in the bridge fund. So the bridge fund is always $3 million. You don't put any more money into it for any more years because when you use that money, it's replaced when you buy the item and your lawyer gives you that money back that you used for to bridge the money until you got your money. Now, relatives and friends, I am the only girl in my generation. There are 19 of us. There are 19 of us, and I'm the only girl. So my cousins have literally been the best thing in my life. I race motorcycles. I ride motorcycles. I grow cannabis like a big dog. And if it wasn't for my cousins, I wouldn't learn how to do none of those things. So I'm doing $1 million a year for 21 relatives and friends, friends that were like ironclad in my life. And $1 million a year for the next 2 to 4 years, and then $1 million a year for the next 100 years. I'm eventually believing that these people, once they get comfortable with their life and they get all the things they want, after about 5 or 10 years, I expect those friends and families to break away from my family trust because they're going to have enough money on their own to start their own for their own family. The next group is almost family, like family. These are people that were close to you at different parts in your life that did good things with you, and you want to kind of help them out, but it's not people that you feel like they are your family. So I have 6 people that are like that. I'm going to give them $1 million a year for the first year, $1 million a year for the second year, years 2 through 4, and then $500,000 a year for the rest of them for 5 to 100 years. Staff. This sucks so bad. This is the first time in my life that I have not had staff. I've always been very, very wealthy, and I invested into a hyperbaric grow chamber to grow cannabis in, and we were set to make $300 million the first year. we built by the mouth of the Bay of Houston. And when Hurricane Harvey happened, we lost everything. The entire facility was washed out into the sea, and we didn't have the correct insurance for it. I lost $40 million in 28 hours. So I went from being a multimillionaire to be worth $60,000. And let me tell you, that was a bitch. That was so hard. And that happened in a few years ago. And I couldn't hire anybody. I couldn't hire staff. I was fucking broke, bitch, you know? So I couldn't have anybody. Well, after having staff for so many years, I realized, but when I had no staff, that I was an asshole. I was a serious asshole. I feel bad for the people that used to work for me because I was an ass, okay? Having a lot of money, then having no money makes you realize what kind of a person you were when you had staff. I was a shitty little woman. I had 16 people that worked for me full-time, including 5 gardeners that, God bless America, those guys, I don't know why they stayed with me. But anyway, I'm going to find all 16 of those people that used to work for me. And year one, I'm going to gift them $1 million. Year 2 through 4, I'm going to gift them $500,000. And year 5, till the day they die, I'm going to give them $500,000 up to 100 years. I don't know if they're going to live that long, but those people put up with some terrible shit from me. And I would not have been the person I am today if it wasn't for the staff that I had that basically made my life run like clockwork. And I'm going to apologize. You know, it was really funny. For years and years and years, I had house staff. And that's why you see the house manual document that I made. And so when I first moved here, you know, I lost everything. I was dead broke, bitch. I was like, this is awful. And I remember seeing a glass, clear glass that was on the counter. And I remember thinking to myself, what the hell's wrong with her? She's not keeping up with the dishes. And then I realized, asshole, it's you. And it was not seeing anything move for days in the house before I started realizing, that's your job now. So my staff was incredible, and I owe them like many apologies and millions of dollars. So I'm going to bless them for being the amazing and wonderful people they were when I needed it the most. Then I have significant students and families. I taught classes, and I had some just amazing students. 9 different sets of students went out and started their own businesses. So I'm going to gift those students and families up to $1 million. So I put, there's 10 of them. So I don't know if I'm going to use it all on one person or not. But year one, I have 10 million. Year 2 through 4, I have 10 million. And then years 5 through 100, I have nothing. I'm not going to sit there and we're under for after 5 years. I'm just going to bless them the first 4 years. Ministry, missionary support, and church. I've had really, 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 really bad experiences with the church. My grandmother was Catholic. She used the Catholic religion as a weapon. So it was a big deterrent for me to have any kind of relationship with God, because I literally felt God was, you know, like the worst asshole ever. And as I became older, I am blessed to now have a relationship with God. And I don't feel God is in a church. I feel God is with you and works with you. So I don't tithe to a church. What I've always done is I've taken 10% of my earnings and I buy things like gift cards or food or jackets, and I give those away to people face to face. So I'm going to put $3 million aside for every single one of these boxes, and I'm going to give away $3 million personally a year to people that need support. Community support. My community It's very small. They have things for the kids, equipment, different kinds of things that are broken and battered in the community that need help. And there's just not enough money. There's not enough business here to fund it. So I'm putting in $2 million a year to help my local community. Now, if I move to a different community, I'm just going to put that money into the new community. It doesn't matter. I'm putting $2 million a year to the community I live in. And then I have scholarships in name of special people. I have people that helped me through my business, my mentors. So I'm going to give out 4 scholarships a year at $250,000 a year. So that's year 1, 2, 2 through 4 and 5. So that's a total of $1 million a year. Favorite charities are veterans. I am going to donate tiny houses to veterans, and I have a budget of $5 million a year to do that with. Legal and lawyer, legal aid and lawyers. I have a budget of $1 million every single year. Years 1, years 2 through 4, years 5 to 100. Then I have med beds. I'm going to pay for med beds for my family and medical care for my family. I think a med bed cannot go more than $10 million. So I put in $10 million for year 1 and then $1 million a year for the next 100 years. Because I'm a little old lady, I put in elderly care. That's not funny. So I put in $1 million a year for elderly care. I figure if I die in 100 years, I'll have a big ass party when I die, or funeral expenses. That's another $1 million a year so that I can have a big party. I can make sure that when I retire, I have a place to live. So I put in $1 million a year for the next 5 to 100 years. I want bonuses for my executive assistant and my personal assistant. I'll probably have 2 executive assistants and 4 personal assistants. So that'll be $500,000 to $250,000 a year for year 1, year 2 through 4, and then double it in year 5 to 100. Because I'll have more people working for me. I'll have more companies at that point. So that's $2 million a year, $2 million a year for 2 to 4, and then $4 million from 5 to 10. My security staff, it's $10 million a year. $10 million for the whole times. I have a mechanic that I'm going to bless with $1 million a year. And the reason why I'm giving him that money is, like, if my car, anything mechanical breaks, he comes and gets my shit. I get a car to drive and he fixes it, and I bless him with $1 million a year for that service. Life insurance for continuing wealth is $20 million a year. You use that life insurance is basically a fund for you to pull money out for your family members to get education, for your family members to get a home, car, all that kind of stuff. And then there is a specific one for education. That's $5 million every single year. So per year, year 1, it's a total of $643 million. Years 2 through 4, it's a total of $692 million per year. And years 5 through 100, it's a total of $406 million per year for 100 years. So all of those totals, it's basic math. On many of these funds, there will be give back, pay it forward stipulations. You're going to figure out what that is with your family governance person. And that's basically it. This document literally writes itself. You pull information from your main governance, you put it in the top of this, you change it to your family trust, you put it to your name, you add whatever objectives that is important to you from the topics that I told you earlier, and then you fill it out and you turn it in. That's it. If your project is accepted, they will fund your family governance. This is what we've been told. So how to present this is you present your humanitarian project, and when you're done with your humanitarian project presentation, you say, I understand that you, a family governance will also be funded. My family governance project is this. We make this for that, or we do this for that. Here's the documents for my family governance if I'm accepted. And then you give them this set of documents. You don't want to give them too many documents because you don't want them to be flipping through documents when you're talking to them. You want them to get your family governance look at it, get the three pieces of information they need, put it down so that you can talk to them so they can get a feel of who you are. That's going to be your best chance at getting the best rates that you can possibly get. When you're done explaining all your main project, then you say, I understand that our family governance is also has a shot to be funded. So here's my family governance if you consider that as well, and give it to them then. That's it, folks. That's going to be pretty much the end of your RB. They're either going to take you to count the money after you do this, or they have already counted it, and you pick up your final documents and you leave. But it's that easy to do a family governance. It's very easy to do. All of the heavy lifting, all the difficult work of planning this thing comes after the RB with your leadership management team. Does that make sense? You guys understand what I talked about?
Clear as mud.
Clear as the mud. That's fabulous. Does anybody have any questions?
I do.
Sure, go ahead.
I think I heard you say, or someone say before, that unless you have an international project, they're not going to consider the governance?
I have not heard that. Okay. I have heard people say that. But I don't believe that's true, because all of the digging that I have seen and basic business, this goes back to, I'm making these guesses, Wendy, basically from my background, okay? Not because of anything I've heard, but right. Every time you have a multi-million-dollar corporation, they want to make sure that the people running that corporation are not going to get their little sticky fingers in it. They want to make sure that their family is taken care of, so that they can do the business of the international corporation or the national corporation. Because for some people traveling across the United States or across their own countries, for those of you that are in different countries, that's going to be a massive thing for you to do. You've got to take care of your family. There has to be a plan in place for your family to be taken care of, so you are not pulled away from the important work you're going to be doing for your humanitarian project. And that's the reason I believe those that are saying, oh, if you don't have a global crumb, they're not going to give it to you. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all. I believe that if you're doing something local, you're probably not going to get a family governance. If you're doing something national, federal, or international, you have to have one, because you can't be there. You're not going to be there to solve problems. You got to have a governance in place to make sure, A, you don't lose your money, and B, to make sure you can continue to be strong with the income that you make on your family governance, so that supports all of your work for your major humanitarian project.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have a question? Well, folks, I know that was a whole pot pile of information to give you. As there are no more questions, I'm going to end the recording part of this. And after I've ended the recording part of this, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask without a recording, I'll be here for a few minutes to answer those questions. So let me close this recording out. Heavenly Father, thank you for the humanitarians that have listened to this topic tonight, and that are ready to put on that massive cape of responsibility to help change the world. Please teach them, Heavenly Father, to stop listening to their brains. Their brains are brainwashed. Their brains are going to tell them they can't do this, they shouldn't do this, and all kinds of negative things. Please, Heavenly Father, put your hand on their hearts and tell their hearts, you can do this. This is what you're here for. This is why we are depending on you. You are the people the world is waiting for. In your heavenly name, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.